Lesson 16, Family Prayer, Family Scripture Study, and Family Home Evening. Ideas for Application. According to your own needs and circumstances, follow one or more of these suggestions. If your family holds regular family prayer, family scripture study, and family home evening, prayerfully consider ways you might improve in one or more of these settings. If your family does not do these things, consider what you will do to help establish these activities in your home. As a family, plan an activity you can do together. Consider referring to the ideas on pages 265 through 340 of the Family Home Evening Resource Book, 31106. Review the material on pages 137 to 139 of Teaching, No Greater Call, 36123. Reading assignment. Study the following articles. If you are married, read and discuss the articles with your spouse. The Blessings of Family Prayer. President Gordon B. Hinckley, First Counselor in the First Presidency. The Apostle Paul declared to Timothy, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. There needs to be a new emphasis on honesty, character, and integrity in our time. Only as we build again into the fiber of our lives the virtues that are the essence of true civilization will the pattern of our times change. The question that confronts us is, where shall we begin? I am satisfied that it must begin with recognition of God as our eternal Father, of our relationship to Him as His children, with communication with Him in recognition of His sovereign position, and with daily supplication for His guidance in our affairs. I submit that a return to the old pattern of prayer, family prayer in the homes of the people, is one of the basic medications that would check the dread disease that is eroding the character of our society. We could not expect a miracle in a day, but in a generation, we would have a miracle. A generation or two ago, family prayer in the homes of Christian people throughout the world was as much a part of the day's activity as was eating. As that practice has diminished, the moral decay discussed by the Apostle Paul has ensued. I feel satisfied that there is no adequate substitute for the morning and evening practice of kneeling together, father, mother, and children. This, more than soft carpets, more than lovely draperies, more than cleverly balanced color schemes, is the thing that will make for better and more beautiful homes. There is something in the very posture of kneeling that contradicts the attitudes described by Paul: proud, heady, high-minded. There is something in the very practice of father and mother and children kneeling together that evaporates others of those qualities he described: disobedient to parents, without natural affection. There is something in the act of addressing deity that offsets a tendency toward blasphemy and toward becoming lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. The inclination to be unholy, as Paul described it, to be unthankful, is erased as together family members thank the Lord for life and peace and all they have. And as they thank the Lord for one another, there is developed within the family a new appreciation, a new respect, a new affection one for another. The Scripture declares, "Thou shalt thank the Lord thy God in all things." Doctrine and Covenants, section 59, verse 7. And again, "In nothing doth man offend God, or against none is his wrath kindled, save those who confess not his hand." Doctrine and Covenants, section 59, verse 21. In remembering together before the Lord the poor, the needy, and the oppressed, there is developed, unconsciously but realistically, a love for others above self, a respect for others, a desire to serve the need of others. One cannot ask God to help a neighbor in distress without feeling motivated to do something oneself toward helping that neighbor. What miracle would happen in the lives of the children of the world if they would lay aside their own selfishness and lose themselves in the service of others? The seed from which this sheltering and fruitful tree may grow is best planted and nurtured in the daily supplications of the family. I know of no better way to inculcate love for country than for parents to pray before their children for the land in which they live, invoking the blessings of the Almighty upon it, that it may be preserved in liberty and in peace. I know of no better way to build within the hearts of our children a much-needed respect for authority than remembering in the daily supplications of the family the leaders of our respective countries who carry the burdens of government. I remember seeing on a billboard a statement that read, "A nation at prayer is a nation at peace." I believe this. I know of nothing that will so much help to ease family tensions that in a subtle way will bring about the respect for parents which leads to obedience, that will affect the spirit of repentance which will largely erase the blight of broken homes, than will praying together, confessing weaknesses together before the Lord, and invoking the blessings of the Lord upon the home and those who dwell there. I have long been impressed with a statement made by a man long since dead. James H. Moyle wrote to his grandchildren concerning the family prayer of his own home. He said, "We have not gone to bed before kneeling in prayer to supplicate divine guidance and approval. Differences may arise in the best governed families, but they will be dissipated by the spirit of prayer. Its very psychology tends to promote the more righteous life among men. It tends to unity, love, forgiveness, to service." In 1872, Colonel Thomas L. Kane, the great friend of our people in the days of their distress in Iowa, and at the time of the coming of the army to the Salt Lake Valley, came west again with his wife and two sons. They traveled to St. George with Brigham Young, stopping each night in the homes of church members along the way. Mrs. Kane wrote a series of letters to her father back in Philadelphia. In one of these, she said, "At every one of the places we stayed on this journey, we had prayers immediately after the dinner supper, and prayers again before breakfast. No one was excused. The Mormons kneel at once, while the head of the household or an honored guest prays aloud. They spend very little time in ascriptions, but ask for what they need, and thank him for what he has given. They take it for granted that God knows our familiar names and titles, and will ask a blessing on a particular individual by name. I liked this when I became used to it." Oh, that we as a people might fully cultivate this practice, which was of such importance to our pioneer forebears. Family prayer was as much a part of their worship as were the meetings convened in the tabernacle. With the faith that came of those daily invocations, they grubbed the sagebrush, led the waters to the parched soil, made the desert blossom, governed their families in love, lived in peace one with another, and made their names immortal as they lost themselves in the service of God. The family is the basic unit of society. The praying family is the hope of a better society. Isaiah Chapter 55, verse 6. Can we make our homes more beautiful? Yes, through addressing ourselves as families to the source of all true beauty. Can we strengthen society and make it a better place in which to live? Yes, by strengthening the virtue of our family life through kneeling together and supplicating the Almighty in the name of His beloved Son. This practice, a return to family worship, spreading across the land and over the earth, would in a generation largely lift the blight that is destroying us. It would restore integrity, mutual respect, and a spirit of thankfulness in the hearts of people. The Master declared, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. I give you my testimony that if you sincerely apply family prayer, you will not go away unrewarded. The changes may not be readily apparent, they may be extremely subtle, but they will be real, for God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. May we be faithful in setting an example before the world in this practice and in encouraging others to do likewise. From the February 1991 Ensign, pages 2 through 5. Therefore, I was taught. Elder L. Tom Perry of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. Goodly parents. The Book of Mormon begins with these words. I, Nephi, having been born of goodly parents, therefore I was taught somewhat in all the learning of my father. 1 Nephi, chapter 1, verse 1. What a different world this would be if the personal journals of each of our Father in Heaven's children could begin with a similar phrase, having goodly parents and being taught by them. We live in such a special time in history, a time when the Lord's gospel has been restored in its fullness. Our missionary force is increasing in quality and quantity. Thus, the gospel is being taught in more languages to more nations and to greater numbers of listening ears than ever before. As wards and stakes are being established in most parts of the world, creative minds have been inspired to develop communication instruments which are capable of bringing the instructions of the prophets to the ears of many, many more people. The good news of the gospel can now spread more rapidly to bring the hope of everlasting peace to the hearts of mankind. Family life in crisis. One of the great messages of the gospel is the doctrine of the eternal nature of the family unit. We declare to the world the value and importance of family life, but much of the confusion and difficulty we find existing in the world today is being traced to the deterioration of the family. Home experiences where children are taught and trained by loving parents are diminishing. Family life where children and parents communicate together in study, play, and work has been replaced by a quick individual microwaved dinner and an evening in front of the TV set. In 1991, the National Association of Counties, meeting in Salt Lake City, thought that the lack of home influence had reached such a point of becoming a crisis in our nation, and spent time in their meetings discussing their concerns. They identified five basic concepts that could increase every family's chances for success. First, strengthen relationships through family activities. Second, establish reasonable rules and expectations. Third, build self-esteem. Fourth, set achievable goals. And fifth, periodically evaluate family strengths and needs. Suddenly, the urgent and warning voice of our prophets from the very beginning of time has special relevance. As we have been counseled and encouraged, we must be attentive to our own families and accelerate our missionary effort to bring others to a knowledge of the truth and the importance of the family unit. Adam and Eve learn parental duties. In the very beginning, the Lord's instructions to Adam and Eve made clear their responsibilities as parents. Their roles were well defined. After they had received instruction from the Lord, we find them following His counsel and saying this, "And in that day Adam blessed God, and was filled, and began to prophesy concerning all the families of the earth, saying, Blessed be the name of God, for because of my transgression my eyes are opened, and in this life I shall have joy, and again in the flesh I shall see God. And Eve, his wife, heard all these things and was glad, saying, Were it not for our transgression, we never should have had seed, and never should have known good and evil, and the joy of our redemption, and the eternal life which God giveth unto all the obedient. And Adam and Eve blessed the name of God, and they made all things known unto their sons and their daughters. Moses, chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. Teach and train children. Yes, from the very beginning, the responsibility of parents teaching their children was among the instructions the Lord gave to our first earthly parents. Revelations received as the church has been restored in this day again admonish parents in their obligation to teach and train their children. In the 93rd section of the Doctrine and Covenants, we find the Lord chastising some of the brethren for not paying attention to their family responsibilities. The scriptures read, "But I have commanded you to bring up your children in light and truth. You have not taught your children light and truth according to the commandments, and that wicked one hath power as yet over you, and this is the cause of your affliction. And now a commandment I give unto you. If you will be delivered, you shall set in order your own house, for there are many things that are not right in your house." Doctrine and Covenants, Section 93, verse 40, verses 42 and 43. Importance of Family Home Evening. Years ago, the Church admonished all parents to hold weekly family home evenings. Today, that admonition has been institutionalized in the homes of church members. Monday night has been set aside as an evening for families to be together. No church activities or social appointments should be sponsored on this night. We have been promised great blessings if our families would be faithful in this regard. President Harold B. Lee once counseled us, "Now keep in mind this, that when the full measure of Elijah's mission is understood, that the hearts of the children will be turned to the fathers, and the fathers to the children. It applies just as much on this side of the veil as it does on the other side of the veil. If we neglect our families here in having family home night, and we fail in our responsibility here, how would heaven look if we lost some of those through our own neglect? Heaven would not be heaven until we have done everything we can to save those whom the Lord has sent through our lineage." Then he continued, "So, the hearts of you fathers and mothers must be turned to your children right now, if you have the true spirit of Elijah, and not think that it applies merely to those who are beyond the veil. Let your hearts be turned to your children, and teach your children. But you must do it when they are young enough to be properly schooled. And if you are neglecting your family home evening, you are neglecting the beginning of the mission of Elijah, just as certainly as if you were neglecting your research work of genealogy." Relief Society Courses of Study, 1977 through 1978, page 2. I've often thought of the happy times we had when our family was young and our children were at home. I have made a mental review of those days and considered the changes I would make in our family organization and administration if we had the opportunity to live that period over again. There are two areas I would determine to improve if that privilege were granted to me to have young children in our home once again. The first would be to spend more time as husband and wife in a family executive committee meeting, learning, communicating, planning, and organizing to better fulfill our roles as parents. The second wish I would like, if I could have those years over, would be to spend more family time. This includes more consistent, meaningful family home evenings. Youth contribute to success. The full burden of planning and preparing for family home evenings should not be left to parents alone. The most successful ones I have witnessed are when the youth of the family take an active part. "I call on you great deacons, teachers, and priests, you Beehive girls, Maya maids, and Laurels, to make a major contribution in the success of your family home evenings. In many homes, you can be the conscience of the family. After all, you have the most to gain from this experience. If you want to live in a world of peace, security, and opportunity, the family you contribute to can add to the well-being, yes, even of the whole world." I remember an example of this that occurred over the Christmas holidays one year, when we had the grandchildren on an outing with us. In order to have a real togetherness experience, we had arranged for a van to travel together. In the van were Grandpa and Grandma, and my son and his three older children. My son's wife had stayed at home with the younger members of the family. I was taking my turn at the wheel, and my wife was seated next to me, acting as our navigator. From the back end of the van, I heard Audrey, the eldest child, counseling with her father. She was saying, "Dad, one of our goals this year was to finish the Book of Mormon in our family study. This is the last day of the year. Why don't we complete it now, so that we will be on schedule?" What a special experience it was to listen to my son and his three children, each taking turns reading aloud the final chapters of Moroni and completing their goal of reading the entire Book of Mormon. Remember, it was a young woman who made this suggestion, not one of the parents. Challenge to youth. You are a chosen generation, saved for this special time in the history of mankind. You have so much to give to add to the growth and development of the families to which you belong. I challenge you to step forward in your family units with that special enthusiastic spirit of your youth to make the gospel really live in your homes. Remember the counsel of President Joseph F. Smith when he said, "I would like my children and all the children in Zion to know that there is nothing in this world that is of so much value to them as the knowledge of the gospel as it has been restored to the earth in these latter days through the prophet Joseph Smith. There is nothing that can compensate for its loss. There is nothing on earth that can compare with the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let, therefore, all the parents in Zion look after their children and teach them the principles of the gospel, and strive as far as possible to get them to do their duty, not mechanically, because they are urged to do it, but try to instill into the hearts of the children the spirit of truth and an abiding love for the gospel, that they may not only do their duty because it is pleasing to their parents, but because it is pleasing also to themselves." Collected discourses delivered by President Wilford Woodruff, his two counselors, the 12 apostles, and others. Volume 5, page 436. Revitalize Family Home Evening. Family home evenings are for everyone, whether it be in a two-parent home, a single-parent home, or in a single-member family unit. Home teachers, we call upon you in your regular visits to encourage and revitalize the holding of family home evenings. Our present prophet, President Ezra Taft Benson, has reminded us again of the necessity of holding family home evenings and the ingredients which constitute a successful one. He has said, "Designed to strengthen and safeguard the family, the church's family home evening program establishes one night each week that is to be set apart for fathers and mothers to gather their sons and daughters around them in the home. Prayer is offered, hymns and other songs are sung, scriptures are read, family topics are discussed, talent is displayed, principles of the gospel are taught, and often games are played and homemade refreshments served. Conference Report, Philippine Islands Area Conference, 1975, page 10. It is our hope that each of you might write down each of those suggestions made by the prophet on what a family home evening should contain. Then he continues, "Now, here are the blessings promised by a prophet of God for those who will hold weekly family home evenings. If the saints obey this counsel, we promise that great blessings will result. Love at home and obedience to parents will increase. Faith will be developed in the hearts of the youth of Israel, and they will gain power to combat the evil influences and temptations which beset them." In Conference Report, Philippine Islands Area Conference, 1975, page 10. See also Improvement Era, June 1915. We encourage each of you to follow the counsel of our prophet. In all the family units throughout the church, evaluate again the progress you are making in holding regular family home evenings. The application of this program will be a shield and a protection to you against the evils of our time, and will bring you, individually and collectively, greater and abundant joy now and in the eternities hereafter. May God bless us that we may revitalize and strengthen this tremendously important program as we counsel together as family members. From an address by Elder Perry in the April 1994 General Conference of the Church, See Conference Report, April 1994, pages 47 through 51, or Ensign, May 1994, pages 36 through 38. End of Lesson 16, Family Prayer, Family Scripture Study, and Family Home Evening. This concludes the Marriage and Family Relations Participant Study Guide, recorded in the studios of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Salt Lake City, Utah. Read by Marty Tuller, David Shaw, and Michelle Visaraga. February 2001.